for joining Hashtag No Limits. I am your host, Shelley Kino. It is wintertime here in Southern Illinois. As you can probably tell by my voice, this is not normally my voice, and I am dealing with something. Hopefully you won't be distracted by that because we have a really good show for you today, and I hope that you will focus on my guests and not too much about my voice. Hashtag No Limits is about people whose society has placed limits upon but who have busted through those limits. Ophelia says in Hamlet, we know who we are, but not who we will be. And I believe that that is 100% true, and that there's not a better, more beautiful example than the caterpillar turning into the butterfly. Quick science lesson, for those who don't know, the caterpillar dissolves into cells, reforms into the butterfly, but that's not it. It's not finished struggling. It then has to fight to get out of the cocoon in order for its wings to be strong enough to take it everywhere it's going to go. I can't imagine any of that is easy. But then neither is busting through limits that society places upon a person. And that's why I think it's such a great example of what I'm trying to do with Hashtag No Limits. Today, I am honored to have Jeff and Catherine Pearson with me, and they have an incredible story to tell you. And so without further ado, remind you to, if you are watching live, give us a hashtag live and where you're watching from. If you're watching in the replay, give us a hashtag replay and where you're watching from. Make sure to like or subscribe to this channel so you don't miss an episode of Hashtag No Limits. And I think that's it. Now, without further ado, welcome to the show, Jeff and Catherine. How are you both doing today?
Thank you. That's a cool idea. I'm gonna do that with mine. That's a really cool idea. I love that. Hashtag and then where you're from, watching from. That's cool.
Yeah.
No, we're doing great. Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. So you said you're going to do that with yours. So go ahead and explain a little bit about what you mean when you say, oh, I'm going to do that.
You're what? Yeah. What the heck are you talking about? People are like, huh? Yeah. What's going on? So, yeah, thank you. So I have, we have created a TV show called Invisible Condition, and we air every Tuesday and Friday at 10 a.m. Mountain Time, 9 Pacific, on E360 TV, on the Arion TV channel. And we've been on the air since April of last year, and we bring people on the show that are living and yet thriving despite some sort of invisible medical condition that they live with and thrive with, you know, and what are they doing in spite of it? And so, and then also organizations from around the country and around the world really that are helping that population do better and live better lives and thrive too. So that's what the show is about. And coincidentally or not, Shelley, you're going to be on my show. We're going to record really, really soon too. And so watch out for her on our show, everybody, in a little bit, not maybe a couple of weeks. I don't remember, but
it's so very coming, quickly, coming up. How do they find your show? Cause they know how to find my show, but how do they find yours?
So if you go to YouTube or Facebook and just enter Invisible Condition, you should find us pretty easily. If you go to e360tv.com, that is our TV station's website, and you can go watch there. You can watch on any device. It's a free download. E360 TV is a free download on any mobile device. And if you have a fancy enough TV or a Roku or Fire Stick, you can search for it and then watch it on your TV in your living room, which is really cool. So, awesome. Yeah.
So I'm doing things a little bit out of my typical order. So I have put up your social media links,
nice.
How to find you personally.
Perfect.
It wasn't the show links, but it is Facebook. And then you have a whole profile number behind it. But yeah, I think if they just go to Facebook and search Invisible Condition, which was what I did, and it'll pop up. And then, YouTube is at Invisible Condition. And then TikTok is at Jeff Pearson Official. So you got a little bit of a different thing to find one, there.
The TikTok is not necessarily focused on the TV show. That's more about my journey as somebody with an invisible condition and how we're coming through that and how we're living life with it. So that's what that one's about. It's not specifically about the TV show. So, but it's still a cool channel. You should definitely come hang out there too. So,
yeah. I was just checking out your Christmas episode of Invisible Condition. What was it titled? Living Through the Chaos, Peace in the Chaos.
There it is.
Yeah.
Which can be tricky at Christmas. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. So I actually want to talk about that.
Okay.
on here. But first, I want you to tell us, what is your invisible condition and how has it affected you throughout your whole life? And how has it affected your marriage?
Right.
I'd like to get Catherine involved.
Yes. I know. Here she is.
You go first.
I'll tell about your condition,
and then I'll chime in.
Okay. So I was born with a condition called hydrocephalus, which loosely translated is water on the brain. Hydrocephalus, water on the brain. So what happened was at my two-week checkup, I was born with it. And so at two-week checkup, they do a lot of the same measurements they do at birth, you know, length and weight, and just to make sure the baby's tracking. And one of those measurements is around here, around the circumference of the skull. And that measurement was just a little bit too big for their liking at that appointment. And so they said, hold on, mom and dad, you don't get to take them home yet. Let's do a CAT scan. And they found out that one of the ventricles in the brain, the ventricles drain the fluid from the brain and from the skull. One of those ventricles was blocked. And so it was not draining properly. And so that is officially aqueductal stenosis or hydrocephalus. And so they did what they do with most typically with treating hydrocephalus, which is brain surgery. And so at 2 weeks old, I had my first brain surgery and they drilled a hole in my skull back here and threaded a little tube in there to suck that fluid out so it wouldn't collect. And there's a shunt attached to it right here and a cord attached to the shunt. And that shunt or that cord just kind of reroutes that fluid somewhere else in the body to so that it's not, it's, we got to play so that it's not, you know, collecting up there. So that was my introduction into the world was brain surgery at 2 weeks old. And then I had a couple more over my childhood and, I've had four brain surgeries since 2014. And I've had about 15 surgeries overall, but only 7 of them are brain surgeries. So I've only had 7 brain surgeries. It's okay. It's cool.
Right. Not a big deal.
And honestly, you know, from birth to about 36 years old, I'm 47 now, from about almost 48 in March. So for about the first, you know, 36 years of life, everything was cool, man. We had surgery. I mean, I had a lot of surgeries. I came through them really well. And I, you know, my parents, God bless them, man. My parents who are still around thriving, they live in Oregon now with hanging out with the younger grandkids. Our kids are older. So they, you know, but anyway, they are, they're awesome. And during my childhood and during my growing up years and really they instilled a spirit in me of, you are not sick. You just have this thing. There's a thing in your head that's, you know, pumping fluid or whatever. And once in a while, we'll have to have it replaced. But, you know, surgery is just surgery. No big deal. Carry on, you know. And, of course, mm-hmm. they discouraged me from playing things like football and soccer and rugby and things where you're banging your head against things. And, you know, obviously. But really, it was a pretty normal childhood. It was very chill. It was very you know, they in the as far as the my condition is concerned, I never really was treated differently. It was never really a thing. They just said, look, go. You're not your condition. Just go. Do your thing. Live your life. So I'm very thankful for that because I mean, depending on the condition, sometimes you have to make it more of a priority. But for mm-hmm. me, I'm so glad that was the approach that they took. And so it was pretty cool. We had a pretty cool childhood. So, and somehow they did miss snowboarding. I'm not sure how they did let me skateboard and snowboard as a kid. And I still do 30 years later
without a helmet
for the first 20, whatever years. Yeah. I just started wearing a helmet a couple of years ago. So don't tell anybody. But
well, I mean, snow is soft. So if you land in the snow or you hit the snow, it's not a problem. It's
you know what? Like if you, you just know. The trick is just don't fall. It's cool.
Don't fall.
It's okay. Just exactly. Don't fall. You'll be okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Right.
So just because as you can. Oh, I got the right side. I normally get the wrong side. So I am a teacher.
Yes.
Students that had individualized education programs. So basically what I hear you're saying, and so I just want you to confirm this if I'm incorrect, it had no effect on your mental acuity, your motor skills, your speech skills. And so you didn't really need accommodations going through school, or did you Have a couple,
no,
maybe?
I never really had to have accommodations at all, ever, going through school. Never had to take a regular medication ever in my life. Like, I made it out super well.
If I remember correctly, you did some tutoring?
Yeah, I did some math tutoring, but math is dumb. So I don't get math anyway.
Tell me how you really feel, Jeff.
I mean, I just didn't get, like, there was some math that I just did not understand. And so I did do some, you're right, you're absolutely right. I did do some tutoring in junior high and for that, but I don't think it had anything to do with my condition or anything. I think it was just my parents saw me struggling with math and said, let's see if we can help you. So we, you know.
His mom was also a school teacher.
Yes. She was also a school teacher.
She relate. And so yeah. I'm guessing she, part of her teacher perspective was probably, you know, like, I could see my son doing a little bit better. So we're going to get him some tutoring options. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was fine. It's good. The tutoring was fun. It was at a pretty cool place in my hometown, and it was good. I enjoyed it, and I did learn stuff. I, you know, it was helpful. So yeah,
good.
It was good.
I'm glad to hear that. And yeah, cool. I mean, I had to take algebra tutoring in college because I never felt like I was understanding it. And so I don't have any, to my knowledge, need of brain surgery for anything. So, good. I feel like I'm probably just, you know, never been good at math. So, and you know, definitely. And actually, when you were describing the stunt and everything, I was like, oh yeah, I had a student that had that. He had it when he was in first grade. He had spina bifida.
Yep.
And then eventually they found out that there was also the hydrocephaly going on.
Those can go together. Yeah. There's a lot of co-conditions that can, like I said, thankfully I've escaped all those co-conditions so far, but there are some very, like you just said, yeah. Seizure disorders, spina bifida, there's some certain things that can go along with it. So,
right. Yeah, so Fran, I just want to say hi. Fran is joining us from also Southern Illinois. So she's also dealing with the snow and ice that I am dealing with. Hopefully she's not dealing with the congestion stuff as well. But yeah, I'm glad to hear that you were not treated differently or that you were incapable of certain things. Right. I mean, it was a safety issue for you not to play certain sports.
Yes.
It wasn't that you couldn't
right.
Yeah, you could, but you would have had to have, like, you know, somehow extra protection or something, but, and unfortunately, I don't think that was necessarily the case for my student. I was already seeing him as a special education student, but I mean, brain surgery, 7-year-old kid, you know, of course everybody's like, oh my gosh, you know? And so you said you had your first surgery at 2 weeks.
Yeah.
How many then did you have, like, before you got into school and then during your school years?
So I had, so surgeries total before school was 1, 2, 3, 4. There was 4 surgeries before I ever hit kindergarten, 2 brain surgeries and 2 others. And then I had eye surgery at 2 years old. That was before school. That was okay. So 5 eye surgery at 2 years old. I had another eye surgery in 4th grade. I had my second brain surgery was 6 months old. I had another one at 18 years old. I had, you know, so we've had some, you know, there's been some surgeries. But you know, as I said, it was pretty good outcome for most of them. The craziness didn't start until August of 2013. That's when I've had 6 surgeries since then, 4 brain surgeries. And that's kind of when the craziness started. So, but before that, there is a story. I want to talk about Catherine for a second, because she did not have to deal with any of this until we were married about 14 years, because we, like I said, going through school, everything was cool. Everything, you know, I would, surgery, but then I'd come right back to school and nobody would even know I had surgery. And so we met in 7th grade band class. And so we have been hanging around each other for a little while. And so she saw me, you know, junior high and high school, never really had to deal with it. So I don't know. Why don't you tell us about your,
Yes, Catherine, tell us about your impression of Jeff. No.
Who is this funny looking kid?
Yeah. What did you think when you saw him in 7th grade?
You didn't even notice me in band. You noticed me in science class, I think. You didn't even
notice
me in band.
I noticed you. We just didn't talk to each other.
Yeah, because I was too nervous because you were so cute. You know, I couldn't do it.
Awkward teenagers in middle school.
Oh my God, so awkward.
Well, and I wanted to, I will address that for sure. But I wanted to, you know, say, you know, Shelley's show here is about no limits and, you know, people overcoming maybe the limits that were put on them. And I think Jeff's parents and his experience growing up is actually a really great example of how parents could avoid that from the beginning.
Yes.
Right. Yep. If you have a child or if you know of a child, you know, who has maybe some sort of condition, you know, it doesn't always have to be brought to the forefront, you know, and maybe there are situations where it does, but for the most part, you know, how can you maybe avoid it and just gently, you know, guide people without saying, well, this is because of your condition.
Yeah.
You know, they
are absolutely
really good at navigating that very gently and very gracefully. So,
yep.
But anyway, back to, yeah. So band class, once we finally, met and started talking to each other, you know, as middle schoolers are.
Much as we can as middle schoolers.
Yes. Middle schoolers are, but, so we did date off and on through middle school, high school, and, went a little bit in different directions for the start of college. And then about a year and a half after I started college, Jeff actually transferred to be at the same school where I was. And so we really, it was from that point that we really started to grow in our friendship together, you know, really knowing that, yeah, this is who I want to spend the rest of my life with. So impressions were good. You're good.
Yay. Awesome.
Yes.
I always thought he was, you know, really cute, handsome, you know, strong. He always made me laugh. There's nobody else. So
humor is fabulous trait. My husband is also humorous, and that was something that attracted to me to him as well early on. Right? And 32 years later, he still makes me laugh.
Right?
There you go.
Right? We're at 25.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you're a little younger than I am. So
maybe a little. Yeah,
just, well, sure. Yeah, just a little. You said how old you were. I'm not saying how old I am.
Nope. That's okay. I didn't hear a thing.
No, I didn't say a word. So I did want to note that Fran did say, you know, that finding that balance in sharing is very important. I appreciate you saying that, Catherine, because there are extremes, you know, like some people will never acknowledge that there is something going on behind the scenes, no matter what is happening, but somehow expect that you're going to know and treat them as you know, and, you know, with that in mind. And then you have, you know, the opposite extreme where they tell you everything that's going on, and then they blame that for everything that their child does or doesn't do or how they act or whatever. And so, yeah, there's definitely that balance. And because it wasn't affecting you academically, motorically, speech-wise, you know, I mean, I'm sure they just kind of said, you know, and I don't even know, they may not have ever said it to the school, like, hey, by the way, let's not have him play football in PE class, or, you know.
I think she just addressed that with me. She's like, they were very good at like gently redirecting, you know, like, I never really ran up to my parents and said, I really want to play football, but I've never been really that guy. But they were like, hey, how about band? That looks fun. Yeah. Huh? You know, or how about choir? That looks like that could be a fun thing, you know? And so they just kind of gently just kind of directed me there. Yeah. So,
well, okay. Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, I never really strongly, seriously considered any of those contact sports. It was just because it was never really brought up, you know, probably strategically.
Well, see, they recognized something in your voice talent when you were younger already, because in the notes that we shared before the show, you told in those notes that you have performed at the Olympics And you have sung the national anthem at two, was it minor or major league baseball?
Minor league ballparks. No, I never made it to the majors. No, never.
Hey, you don't say never. It's not over yet.
Not yet. I got to sing the national anthem at the minor league ballpark in town here in Colorado Springs. And at the time, the team was called the Sky Sox, the Colorado Springs Sky Sox. So that was a blast. And then about 20 or almost 30 years before that, I was in Pawtucket, Rhode Island at the Paw Sox. I don't even know if they play there anymore, but we were at a Paw Sox game, and I traveled with a group called Up With People, which is a singing group. Performing group. And so I traveled with them in 96. We got to perform at the Olympics and got to go all over the place and all over Europe and all over the US. And so one of the stops we made was Pawtucket, Rhode Island. And so there was a group of about 8 or 10 of us that performed the national anthem on the pitcher's mound before one of the games. It was really cool. So
it's awesome.
So there you go.
Yeah. Well, and see, again, that's, a lot of times people don't realize that they have limits about someone. And that's, you know, when I'm saying hashtag no limits, it's like, don't put limits on someone's potential.
Right.
You shouldn't treat them as if they will never do something. And, you know, I mean, I could see that have been in somebody's mind, like, oh, then, you know, they're never going to go beyond high school singing, or they're never going to go beyond, you know, choir performances or plays in high school or whatever. Well, and then here you go. International.
Yeah. It's kind of funny. I kind of look back and go, wow, that must have scared the daylights out of my parents, because I graduated high school. I had brain surgery to replace the shunt right after graduation. Had another surgery. Well, that wasn't until a couple of years later, but yeah, had brain surgery in summer of 95. And then January of 96, I'm on the road
just a few months later, for a year
to go travel. And so, yeah, I'm sure my mom had a few curled up in the fetal position crying days, you know, thinking about, oh my gosh, what is he doing? But you know, to their credit, I never saw it. And they were always very encouraging of me doing it. And they said, go for it. Get out there. So, you know, so I did.
Yeah. That's awesome. So Catherine, you knew him at that time. Were you guys dating, or did you, so by this point you at least knew he was having some brain surgeries every once in a while?
I did know about the one when he was 18 years old. Yes. And so, but I was naive enough to think, oh, that's just like a one-time thing.
Oh, right.
You know,
sure.
One and done.
Like I said, I mean, I was 18 too. And so I didn't have any clue that, oh, well, maybe I should like read up or learn about this condition thing.
Maybe this will come up later. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Well, yeah. Because if his family and him are not making a big deal about it, why would you?
Right.
It's normal, isn't it? It's just a thing that happens. Like you go to the dentist and you get a crown, you know, it just happens every once in a while.
I mean, I had had wisdom teeth surgery or wisdom teeth out, you know, like the year before. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, well, you know, sometimes people just have medical stuff and you move on. But yeah, so he, I did know him at the time. We were, when he left for that year of travel, we were just friends. But it was actually during that year, he tells me that I was his best pen pal. I wrote him quite a few letters during that year.
And I
it
still
was,
have them.
When he was gone, that's kind of when I realized, I was like, oh, I really miss him. And I want him to come back and be with me. So,
yeah.
So that is that time frame was really when I, you know, I was like, yes, that's, you know, who I want to be with the rest of my life. I understand he's got multiple stories around that too. But so we got married at 22, just to kind of continue the story a little bit. And then we had about 14 years where there was not much medically. We bought a house, we had kids, we had jobs. And then it was, I think you mentioned before, it was the fall, August of 2013, where He came home from work, doubled over in pain. At the time, we thought, is this appendicitis? Like, it was just so severe, and it came on so quickly. So he was taken by ambulance to a hospital, and the very next morning, they said emergency abdominal surgery. Because of all the surgeries that he had had in the past, it had created a lot of scar tissue around his intestines. And some of that had grown to the point where it was starting to create an obstruction.
Yeah.
So that was the severe pain that he had. But so that was my first introduction to, you know, like kind of that scary world of, oh my gosh, I've got three little kids right now. My husband is being, you know, taken away in an ambulance, you know, and then emergency surgery and all these things. It was, that was the most scary time for sure. Was that first?
Okay. So I have to ask a really dumb question.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And as a teacher, I actually say there are no dumb questions, but
come on now. Come on.
Okay. So you're having brain surgery frequently.
Yes.
But your stomach area has the scar tissue. So were those scar tissue problems from the other surgeries that you were having that didn't relate to your brain?
Well, no, I think it was mostly because of the brain surgeries, because there's the shunt, right? And there's goes into the brain. There's a shunt there that pumps the fluid, but there's also the cord, right? And the cord has to be rerouted somewhere into the abdomen. Like, there's certain places that are typical for that to be rerouted to. And some of them, you know, most commonly it's into the abdominal cavity somewhere on the one side or the other into the abdominal cavity. And so when they do that, they have to kind of, they make a scar in the abdomen as well, so that the shunt is here, but the cord has to land somewhere that'll work, you know, long-term in the abdomen. So there's a scar that they keep reopening every surgery that's in my abdomen to reposition that. So that's why that's why all the scar tissue in the abdomen is from all those previous surgeries with the shunt and having to position that cord. And they've had to reposition it over the last 10 years or so, two, three different times. And so it's been interesting. Yeah. Now I've got, from the surgery I had to have in 13, I have what looks like a giant C-section scar. I've got like a 10-inch scar straight up the middle of my abdomen. So it's, and you can't even blink without your ab muscles. I'm just going to say that is a very important. Well, set of
muscles. They are called the core muscles for a reason, I guess.
For a reason, for sure. Yeah. So anyway, that's why the abdominal surgeries. Yeah.
And we've said this multiple times, but really haven't defined when you've said brain surgery. So every time there haven't been new problems, right? It's just been like that they had to adjust the shunt or adjust the cord or.
So every time they've done brain surgery, it's because something has malfunctioned with the shunt. So the shunt.
Okay.
Fun fact, a couple fun facts about hydrocephalus.
I feel like this isn't going to be a real fun fact. Well,
no, fun fact, like hilarious. Fun,
yeah,
very fun, tongue-in-cheek fun. Every 15 minutes in the United States, somebody is undergoing brain surgery to treat hydrocephalus. It is super common. There are over 400,000 babies born with it every single year, and you can contract it at any time in your life. If you have anything that obstructs that flow of cerebral spinal fluid that your brain is producing. So if you have a tumor develops that blocks that flow, if you get a bad enough traumatic brain injury or concussion or anything like that, you know,
infection, meningitis,
anything like that can cause that obstruction of flow of fluid and cause you to need to have a shunt. So for me, like for instance, the one, I don't know about the 6 month one, the one that you had 2 weeks old and then I had it replaced in 6 months. I'm not really sure what the deal was there, but at 18, it was because the cord, they put a new cord in at 4 years old to a longer one. So I could grow, you know, with it. And that cord adhered to all the tissue and muscle and stuff that grew over those years. And it was not allowing the shunt to move with me as I grew. And so it was literally pulling away from my head, like pulling out of my skull. And so that was, two years of mind-splitting headaches my senior year of high school, and finally had that replaced. And so that was one reason. In 2014, it was because they found a bacterial infection in the cerebral spinal fluid that was collecting in my abdomen. They didn't want it to get to the brain. So to be safe, they just took the whole kit and caboodle out of there, replaced it. And then for some reason, they didn't quite get it in the right spot with that surgery. So about 12 hours later, I was under again, replaced it again. Oh, so two brain surgeries within 12 hours. And then in 2018, it was because of the excessive scar tissue in my abdomen again, that it wasn't reabsorbing. And so they, you know, replaced it then. Right. And then in 2021, it was because that tiny little piece that goes from the shunt into my brain to access that fluid was, turns out, was 100% blocked. So it was not draining anything. And so... So a little bit different symptoms every time, but really the main reason anybody with hydrocephalus would have to have brain surgery is to replace the shunt. And there's different types, you know, I've had adjustable ones that can adjust the pressure and fancy schmancy stuff like that. But yeah, we won't get into that. I don't want your audience to fall asleep, but it's been quite a ride over the last 10 years or so with four of them in a row like that. So,
yeah. So question from Fran, she asks how long a shunt lasts.
It's a good question, Fran. depends on the person. Honestly, I know. In fact, I just had somebody on my show for the third time. She's the only person that I've had on three times, Stephanie. And she also has hydrocephalus, and she had her shunt put in about the same time I did originally. And then she's had like maybe a couple surgeries, and she's around our age and has never had to have another one, you know? So that's one person's experience. I've had seven. I know somebody in their early 30s that works with the National Hydrocephalus Association. I think she still does. And her brain surgery counts in the triple digits. So you never know. I know, right? Come on. Yeah. Like, seriously. So that's
why he says he's fortunate to have only had seven brain surgeries. Because
on average,
right?
Mm-hmm. On average, I'm not going to say typical, there's no such thing, but on average, averaging across the world of all the people, these shunts are lasting a mere 2 to 3 years. And then your people are undergoing brain surgery to replace it again. So they only average about 2 to 3 year lifespan. So by the averages at, say, 45, make it easy math, I should have had at least 15, maybe more like 20 something surgeries by now. By the averages, I've had seven. Right. I'm going to count that as a good thing. So
to have less than the average, definitely.
When it comes to brain surgery, you want to be less than average. Yeah. You
want right.
But
right.
Shelly, as the teacher, knows about bell curves, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that bell curve for hydrocephalus and how long shunts last is so wide.
Yeah.
And so that 2 to 3 happens to land in the middle, but it's
huge variance though. Yeah. Huge. It's so personal to different people. In fact, anyway, I don't want to, we'll go down that rabbit hole, but it widely varies. And so I've found myself very fortunate to only have had seven. So
that's incredible. And so you started the Invisible Condition television program to talk about hydrocephaly. And you also have, and I shared it earlier, but I want to share it again. And by the way, Fran says, thank you for answering. That's not the one I wanted to do. I wanted to do this one. Hydrowithhope.com is your website. And so you started Invisible Condition to share about hydrocephaly and you know, the stories and the experiences that you've had. And again, to watch it, it's Invisible Conditions at e360tv.com. So it's evolved into something more than just talking about, hydrocephaly.
Right.
So tell us about that.
So Hydro with Hope is we created that organization in 2022 because we were sitting in a follow-up appointment with a neurosurgeon in 2018. And I could hear, you know, we all know that the walls in those places are paper thin. Come on, let's be real.
Exactly.
And so you can't really hear the words of what's happening, but you can hear the tone of the conversation. And there was a family or something in that next room, and it did not sound great. They sounded distraught. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, that flashed me back to 2 weeks old. Like, what, like, I wonder what my parents were thinking, right? What in the world would be going through your head if you found out your kid was going to have to brain surgery, especially repeated brain surgery? And so I thought, oh my gosh, all I want to do is run next door to him, to that room, give him a hug, talk to him, answer their questions, tell him it's going to be okay. You know, but HIPAA doesn't like that. Doctor's office don't. Nope. They frown on that. They don't like you just running it off.
They're not like, nope. Yeah, you're right.
No, they don't like that. So I didn't. But on the way home from that follow-up, I mean, we were talking. We're like, man, I felt very strongly that we should do something about this. And so I was like, okay, well, there's always hope, man. And so for the sake of the general public not having to read the big, long word hydrocephalus, it took me a long time to figure out how to actually spell, actually. That was a long word. So we called it Hydro with Hope, because there is always hope. And so we published a journal called My Hydro Warrior Story that is about 150 pages. And it walks people through, it's a fill in the blank journal, and it walks people through that experience of, holy smokes, I have to have what kind of surgery, you know? And was from the beginning of, here's the hospital, the doctor, here's a picture of my gnarly surgery scar and my funky looking hair after surgery, and, you know, try to have some fun with it too. But really it's about keeping those medical records straight. And so that when you go to that inevitable follow-up and they start peppering you with questions, you know, you're not standing there with nothing to say. You've got it all written down, and you've got a collection of things you can tell the doctor when he asks you those questions. And so my goal is to get those books into every hospital in the country, honestly, to help families that are struggling with that. I cannot imagine it would be so cool to have had that for that 2014 right. surgeries and 18 and 21, and just be able to chronicle that, you know?
I think if you click over on programs and services, if I remember correctly.
Programs and services, you should be able to find the book.
It should.
Okay.
You should see it there.
You'll have to tell me. I don't know if it'll switch, because I only shared the screen. So did it switch, or are we still on?
It did. You're good. Keep scrolling down a little bit.
Okay.
Let's see. Is that
there? It is. There's the
Hydro Warrior Story Journal. Yep.
Oh. Might have to click on the link.
There's not a graphic, but yeah, there it is. Okay. All right, there we go. Right. There you go. So if anybody is interested in something like that to give as a gift to somebody that you know that has hydrocephalus, that would be valuable. And you can't really see the spine right now, but because of the picture, the way it's pictured, but I deliberately left a little spot on the spine blank so that people could write, you know, surgery one, surgery two, or the date or something. So you know, keep track that way.
Yeah.
So, and then
it's changing the pictures as I'm going.
Right. Yep. Very cool. Okay. And so that was our nonprofit. And we were at a conference promoting that when we were introduced to the network president of, the network that we're on, Ariane TV, on E360, and her name is Julianne. She's amazing. And she, you know, said, well, tell me your story. What are we talking about? Why would you want a TV show? And I said, I don't know. Let me tell you. And then you say seven brain surgeries. We start talking about it. They go, oh, sure. That's something. So that's where the development of the show came. And then we launched our first show on April 4th of last year. And we've been going twice a week since.
And to be clear too, from the very beginning, it was decided that the Invisible Condition TV show was actually not going to be just hydrocephalus.
Right.
But all different types of invisible conditions.
Yeah.
Jeff likes to say that he didn't think that the Hydrocephalus Hour TV show would last very long.
Probably not.
Yeah, probably not.
Probably not. There's probably enough cases out there, you know, that we probably could have done it, but yeah.
But we've really, I think, appealed to a much wider audience to be able to talk about all different types of invisible conditions.
Yep.
You know, from MS to fibromyalgia to neurodivergent issues and autism,
schizophrenia, bipolar, POTS, pandas, lupus.
So many different.
I mean, you There's so many.
And there are. And there's probably lots of people on your show, on our show, that would completely relate to the title of your show, you know, yes. the hashtag No Limits, yeah. because I think a lot of them, you know, have dealt with, you know, those, like you say, those limitations being placed on them and not being able to, you know, really move forward. And sometimes the limitation is actually a medical community that doesn't know what the condition is or how yes. to treat it or how to help them. Yes. And so there's a limitation on, you know, being able to know what could help and how to access that and how to move forward.
And that's also, yes, yes, 100%.
And
I like to say that I am a product of both. I am a product of both the traditional medical world and the alternative world, because you really can find benefit in both. When I had my two back-to-back brain surgeries in 2014, I ended up having migraines after that developed into non-stop all day, every day migraines. They were constant.
Awful.
That lasted for about a year. And during that year, we went back to the neurosurgeon, of course, and said, "You were the last one in there. Help me. You know, what do we do?" And she was there, and her response would not have been he just looked at me and said, "Geez, I'm sorry. I guess you're just going to have to live with headaches." That's what he told me.
Oh,
yeah. So she wasn't.
Talk about limitations.
So if I had listened to that, I probably would not be here. We probably would not be anywhere. I would probably be on the couch in the living room over there, still hooked up on some kind of high power pain med and taking injections of some sort, probably. But we said, "Okay, thank you, doc. Appreciate it.
Bye.
Bye-bye." We're out and started looking around. And we tried tons of stuff during that next year or so. And everything from chiropractic to cranial sacral to, I mean, we ran the gamut of treatments, and we ended up finding two things that worked really well. I found a chiropractic neurologist. Who knew that was a thing? Right down the street, the only one in Colorado, and he's right down the street. So I went to him.
That was God ordained.
Right. Seriously. And turns out I knew him like 20 years ago when I used to sell clothes, and he would come in all the time, but I didn't really, but then I reconnected with him a few years later, and it's like, "Yeah, I can help you. Let's try it." And so he cut the frequency and severity of those headaches quite a bit, but they weren't gone. So it's like, okay, well, you know, let's keep looking. And we ended up finding something called neurofeedback. And the version of neurofeedback that I got was pretty fast acting. And within about a month of finding that, migraines were totally gone. And so I say a lot that traditional Western medicine kept me alive. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Yes, very important. The alternative world gave me my life back. You know, I was able to, I don't know what I would do if we hadn't found those. And it has continued over the last 10 years with other surgeries. You know, the one we just had 3 years ago left me with some really nasty side effects too, but we were able to find a natural remedy in Oregon that helped that too. So it's just about finding, you know, being an advocate for yourself and searching and finding and not taking no for an answer. So
like you say, you know, don't let anybody put some limits on you, you know?
Right.
Allow yourself to think outside the box and search and go find, you know, for us, it was in that medical space, you know, but maybe for others, it's like you help with people, you know, in the teacher educational space, you know, there's a lot of, you know, how can we think outside the box in that space? Right.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'll be honest. I mean, I didn't always think the way I think now, but it took me searching and looking and saying, you know, "Oh, I'm kind of feeling like I'm doing the same thing all the time," and reaching and finding other, you know, like, "Oh, try this, do this. Oh, you could write the IEP this way, you know, and add this in there." And I mean, it does. It takes research. And some of the limiting beliefs don't come from outside. They come from within.
Yeah.
That's true.
And, 100%. You know, we decide, oh, well, okay, you know, there would probably be lots of people that when that medical professional said, well, you're just going to have to live with headaches, they would have said, okay, I'm just going to live with headaches.
And yeah. Everybody knows a few people that are just, and no, I'm not, you know, no judgment, no condemnation or anything, but you know, everybody responds differently, you know, and some people respond with, okay. And some people respond with, mm-hmm. nope. So,
right. And sometimes, yeah. you know, if you go to multiple doctors and you're being told, well, you're just going to have to live with it. You know, it's hard to motivate yourself to say,
yeah,
maybe there is somebody out there that does know how to fix this or help me yep. remedy this, you know, and exactly what you said regarding natural medicine or, you know, other medicine besides traditional Western medicine. Yeah. I mean, that's the second time in a week that I've heard cranial sacral. Right. Yeah. And the other person it was because their child has autism. And
there you go.
The cranial sacral was working and helping them with their autism.
Ironically, the cranial sacral actually made the pain worse. So for me,
right.
That was one of them that did not work. We did not go back to that, but we had to try it. We're like, let's try it, you know, let's see what happens. So,
yeah. And I was watching an episode of yours, earlier today, and the problem that you had, I think after the last surgery was that all noise came in at the same volume and you could not block anything out.
Right.
But you found somebody that would, it was like pressure pointing, right?
Yeah, it was. So the two main side effects from the surgery in 21 was I had large motor tics. So my whole right side of my body kind of looked like that all the time. And my whole body was just, it was just the right side for some reason, but it mm-hmm. just wreaking havoc. And it was very tiring and very painful at times. And so the other thing was that filter in your brain that blocks out background noise automatically for most people that you can carry on a conversation that's in front of you in a room of 1,000 people, that filter was broken. I had no filter. And so when I would go to the supermarket, go to the church, go to the whatever,
go to work at a busy school.
At a school that I worked at the time. Oh my gosh. Yeah. It was like everybody was plugged into an amplifier at the same volume and I couldn't block anything out. So that did not last long. I had to kind of limit my time there at that school and eventually leave that career because of the side effects from that surgery. And then thankfully my parents found something in Bend, Oregon, where they live. And they said, hey, get up here. We'll take care of everything. Just fly. We'll fly you up here. We got to try this. And it was pressure point therapy on the vagus nerve. She worked on me for 3 days. She said she did about a month's worth of work on me in 3 days. Pressure point's a delicate way of saying,
pain. Yeah.
I'm going to drive my elbow into your vagus nerve from head to toe. Yeah. And we're going to basically what they did was press it in to the nerve until the pain dissipated, which was very painful. But ironically, I didn't cry. I laughed. The more the harder she pressed, the harder I laughed.
Oh, well, so I guess that's okay.
I have pain tolerance from all these surgeries, but yeah. And so after we left there, my parents and I went out to dinner at some food court in a mall or something like a couple nights later. And I was like, whoa, hold on. Whoa, wait, do you hear that? And I could hear the music and I could hear what my mom was talking to me or something, but everything else was just
white noise.
You know, I was like, whoa, it's back, you know? So it was pretty exciting. So yeah, but you got to search for this stuff. You got to find it and advocate for yourself and look and, you know, not give up.
Right. And unfortunately you don't know what you don't know.
Right.
And I mean, that sounds like a silly statement, but you don't know what's out there. And thankfully you had family in another area of the country than you were in that this person was doing that. But, you know, somebody on the East Coast would have had no idea, you know, and if they didn't have family in that area that your parents are in Bend, Oregon, then, you know, again, they're going without possible relief because, you know, other people don't know about this process.
Right. Which is why we created our most recent venture that I just want to touch on real quick is Invisible Condition University. So Invisible Condition University is something that we felt there was a need for. And so what do entrepreneurs do? They create the need, they create the solution for the need. And so we said, okay, well, let's see what response we get. And so we launched it in August. And so Invisible Condition is basically, it's something I think we wish we would have had 10 years ago. It's a place where it's a place where we gather on Zoom a couple times a month to kind of just network and say, you know, what are you living with? What are you struggling with? You know, and bring all the knowledge that we had to find through the School of Hard Knocks over the last 10 or 12 years and bring knowledge that I have gained from all my amazing guests that have been on the show over the last year or two. We've developed such a huge Rolodex of resources that we wanted to share. And so Invisible Condition University, or ICU for short, is where we share that. And so a couple times a month, we're on Zoom for about an hour. In fact, I think, what day is it today? Tuesday? It's today.
It's January 7th.
Today. We're going to be on, I had to keep track of the date for a second. Today at 3 p.m. Mountain Time, we're going to be doing that. So if you go to myfreegiftfromjeff.com, you can have a free month. It's a paid community, but it's really low cost. But we will give you the first month for free to check it out. And it's just a place to come and collaborate and be like, hey, what's going on? What can we, you know, and then share resources, you know, that people might be able to take advantage of that could help. And then you don't have to do all that searching. So
that, you know, it's incredible how much stuff is out there. And Fran just made the comment a minute ago about sometimes there's too much information out there and you don't know, you know, what you need because you don't know what you don't know. So you don't know what you need. But I've had so many different people on my show that have talked about doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
And I feel like there are probably a lot of people duplicating. But I almost think we need that because not everybody's going to hear about ICU. Not everybody's going to hear about SPED Connect. Not everybody's going to hear about whatever else is out there.
Right.
You know, and so you do have to have it. I mean, it kind of is bothersome that it's duplicated because, you know, somebody else is going through the same work that somebody else has already gone through. But, you know, it helps. It really does help. And I'm so appreciative for programs like this. And I typed it in, you know, myfreegiftfromjeff.com is exactly what he said. It was very simple. Here it is. And yeah, so, you know, check this out. There are so many, as you mentioned before, invisible disabilities or invisible conditions. And I talk about that a lot when I do professional development with teachers because we tend to overestimate a person's ability if they have an invisible condition such as autism or ADHD or a traumatic brain injury or specific learning disability, because we can't see it and we're not constantly reminded that this person is dealing with something in their brain that is affecting every minute of every day of their life. But because we can't see it, we're like, ah, you're just faking. Oh, you're just being lazy. Oh, I hate that. Sorry.
I get it.
Like when I would have teachers tell me, well, the student is just being lazy. I'm like, okay, if I could show you their brain right now, you would more than likely see that they are working 10 times harder than everybody else in your room, trying to process and trying to, you know, wheedle out everything and ask and do what you're asking them to do.
Totally.
Sorry. That's my little soapbox.
I'm with you. I get it. Oh yeah. Everybody's
got one. Yeah. And that's such a great thing that you're putting together in any way that I can help distribute that out to people so that they can access it. I would love to be able to do that with you because it is something, you know, and then having like divided into regions, even, you know, like if there was, hey, you know, here's the Northeast one, here's those Northwest one.
Here's, see, that's, you why, know. That's why we love doing it on Zoom, because then it doesn't matter. Anybody from any region, right. And you know, it doesn't have to be in person, right. Because, you know, maybe there's two or three people from the, you know, Northeast or Southwest or whatever. And so that's where, right. The collaboration comes in and says, oh, I tried this. Where do you live? You know, and you, so, right. Yeah.
Yeah. Good and stuff. I've started doing something. I'm not collaborating and putting it into any format, but I do a parent forum on another platform called Alignable. And nice. It's a parent forum for special needs parents so that they can, you know, no matter if they're thinking their child is going to be in special education, is currently there or has been there. And it's exactly what you're talking about. So these parents get together once a month and we just, you know, try to help each other navigate. Because if you're one step further on that path, then you probably have something you can share.
yeah, that's right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, guys, it's almost time to wrap up. I have so much enjoyed this conversation. And I know that when we record for your show, it's going to be very similar, that we could probably continue talking for hours. But I just want to, I always try to give my guests that one last opportunity. You know, if there's anything you want to say, anything you had wanted to say that you didn't get a chance to share about, now is that opportunity to do so.
Go for it. Anything?
No pressure, Catherine.
I feel bad because I've been talking and cheating. No. But go ahead. Anything to.
He's the TV show host, so he likes to talk. I'm okay being in the background, but no, sometimes I let my face be seen. But I think one last thing that I would leave people with is just to, like we mentioned, is to advocate for yourself. You know, if there's a limitation that somebody else has put on you, or the culture or society, or if it's from your own, you know, internal thinking and processing, I really encourage you to challenge that limitation and start brainstorming. Who can help me? How can I get past this? You know, what resources are out there? Where can I find them? Because I think there really are, there's a lot more than we realize. And I know, you know, there's can be some dark things about the internet, but really Google searches are not terrible. And even, you know, nowadays ChatGPT can be helpful.
Yep.
I don't want to get into, I don't want to go down that rabbit trail, but just advocate for yourself.
It is, though.
Yeah. Advocate and keep looking, keep seeking that solution.
100%. And I think the only, the two main things I want to leave you guys with, everybody, is there is always help. Always hope. Always, 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 always hope. Never give up hope. And the other thing that I like to say is, you know, life doesn't have to be perfect to be amazing. So just, you know, if there's things going on medically, things going on, whatever, your circumstances don't have to define that. It doesn't have to be perfect to be amazing. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's one thing that I think both you guys and myself, and I believe Fran as well, because I do know her pretty well, is that you might feel alone, but you're not alone
ever.
Yeah. Right.
And you know, there's, like you said, Catherine, Google, you know, look for a support group, look for something that can give you more information to help you down that path, reach out to somebody. You know, I'm available. I'm not a counselor by any stretch of the imagination, but I am a good listener. You know, and I can empathize. I don't understand, but I can empathize. And, you know, maybe I'll have learned something from one of my previous guests that I'll be able to share in a situation and say, have you thought about this? And it definitely, that has most assuredly happened to me when I go in and I'm no longer teaching full time. I'm a special education consultant. So when I go into parents to IEP meetings and the school says, oh, well, I don't think we can do that. Or, oh, I've never, like, but guess what? I know of a situation in this town or this city or in that, you know, whatever, and they're doing it. So we can figure out how to do it here. And it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing.
Yep.
You just have to be able to open the box and not say, nope, there's a limit. This is all we can do. No, there's really a lot more opportunities. I can't exactly say no limits, but there's a lot more out there that we could do than I think in many cases is being done. So
for sure.
Well, thank you both so very much for being with me today. I very much enjoyed our conversation, and I'm looking forward to my conversation with you guys on your show. And we'll try to keep you all informed as to when that happens so that you can cross over and check them out and not just my episode, but all their other episodes as well. So thank you all very much. Thank you, Fran, for joining and participating in the conversation. Make sure, again, if you are watching in the replay, you hashtag replay and where you're watching from. And if you have any questions for Jeff or Catherine, be sure to put them in the comments and I will make sure that they get them. And then we can get those questions answered for you. Everybody have a great week. See you next time.
Hey, parents and teachers, are you tired of IEP meetings that feel like a battle? Let's put an end to the tension and create a collaborative, calm, and respectful environment together. Shelly Kino, your go-to IEP consultant, can transform your meetings into positive and productive experiences. With Shelly Kino, your child is her top priority, your voice is heard, and you become confident. Shelly Kino is making the world better for all, one IEP at a time. Visit www.shellykino.com for more information and set up your free 20-minute consultation today. That's shellykino.com, S-H-E-L-L-E-Y-K-E-N-O-W.